Isaiah chapter number 9, and while you're turning there, you should have received in your bulletin this morning a little blue insert like this. It's kind of made on a little cardstock paper. That's for something you to take. Maybe you can put it in a storefront, or you can give it to a family member or friend, and invite them out for our Here We Come a Caroling on December the 22nd at 6 p.m. We look forward to seeing you there. Hope you jot that down in your calendar. Also, remember our Christmas Eve service coming up December the 24th. We always have a wonderful time. That's our special candlelight Christmas Eve service. So meet together. We have some special things going on, and we'd love to have you come and be a part of that. I also want to ask you to be in prayer. We sent out an email. Brother Gene Oliver, his sister recently passed on to be with the Lord, and she was 91 years of age. And so we want to be in prayer for the Oliver family. We just had a private family funeral service for her. But be in prayer for them. And then also for Jean, Bev. Bev's not here today. She wasn't feeling very well. So she ended up spending a day in the hospital or so and overnight. They thought maybe there was some. She was having a lot of lower back pain. They have her on some medication. So be in prayer for her. And then I would appreciate it if you'd be in prayer for my wife, Connie, today. She's home ill. And it takes a lot for her to not be in church or junior church, so she woke up in the wee hours of the morning this morning and just didn't feel well. And so pray for her. I'd appreciate that. And pray a barrier over me. Amen? Amen. One person said amen. So the rest of you, you want me to get sick. Is that what you're saying? That is. Now, I thought I was among friends this morning. All right, Isaiah chapter number 9, Isaiah 9. I want to look at two verses with you. We'd take time. I'd love to read the entire chapter. In fact, I'd love to read the whole book, but we wouldn't have the time to do that this morning. But for the text of our message, context, what we're sharing with you today, Isaiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Isaiah 9, 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Jump down with me, if you will, to verse number 6, same chapter, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Let's pray together. Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, just like our first service this morning, we pray that you would meet with us again here today. And Father, that you would speak to every heart in this room. God, it's my prayer first and foremost that if there be one here with us this morning who has never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Father, would you save them? I pray that as Jesus is lifted up, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you might draw them and that they might come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, sin forgiven, heaven their home, that they would walk out of this place differently from whence they came in. What a wonderful Christmas gift it would be to receive your Son, Father, the Lord Jesus. God, I pray for each of us who name the name of Christ today that you might first fill us with Holy Spirit power. We need you. We can't do it without you. We can't live this life. We can't walk this walk lest we have the indwelling power of the Spirit of God from on high. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you might use me again today. Please help me. There's not a thing I can do that's worth anything unless you fill me today. Be with our minds, our hearts, our ears, everything about us. Might you receive honor and glory. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the symbols, the music, the poetry, the colors, the traditions, the gifts, and dare I say, yes, even the bills associated with the season. The question, are these all that Christmas means? For many, it's true. For many, they look out for the symbols. They listen for the music. And music is fun. I enjoy listening to Christmas music during the Christmas season. But also, once in a while, I like singing a Christmas hymn in the middle of July. I find when I'm driving in one of my automobiles, you know, there's times I'll flip on to the all-day, 24-hour Christmas music station, and I'll hum and sing along with them. I enjoy that. There are those, though, who will focus on the symbols, the music, the poetry, the colors, the traditions, the lights. You know, I enjoy looking at the colors and the lights, don't you? When my children were younger, we used to pack up the vehicle. You know, we'd have our little porta cups of hot cocoa, and we'd go driving through neighborhoods, and all of a sudden from the back of the vehicle, I'd hear a little voice say, "Lights on my side! Lights on my side!" And we would play games looking back and forth at the lights, you know. Now some of it I can do without. You know, the blow-up Santas and snowmen and stuff like that. I probably could do without that. But I do enjoy all the lights and the color, and of course some color combinations. Pretty wild, you know, you put on your sunglasses. But I enjoy it. I really do. It's a lot of fun. The gifts, well, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to us. It's a joy, I think, to be able to give somebody a gift of love and appreciation and thanks and all of that. That's fine too. But again, it brings us back to the question, are these all that Christmas means? And yet, in spite of the secularism, many at Christmas time experience a softening at heart. You ever notice that during the Christmas season? There are those that, you know, contrary to some of the Merry Christmas battles or happy holidays or Christmas trees or holiday trees or Christmas wreaths or holiday wreaths, there are those that you run into who are a little bit more tenderized during this time of the year. The Christmas time experience, they have a softening of heart of what some might call a Christmas spirit. Yet we must also know and understand that there are powerful forces constantly at work against the meaning of Christmas. We see that too. To many children, there is a figure who dresses, you know, big buckle, black boots, red outfit, who comes, or so they believe, who comes where we are and brings what we want. And for many children out there, that is more of a reality to them than the baby born in a manger in a stone stall type trough many years ago. For parents, there is this thing called the tiring shopping trips. Have you experienced any of that yet? Tiring shopping trips? I'll tell you what I've experienced. Since a couple times I've run out to the stores in twilight or late afternoon or twilight. And I was with somebody the other day and we're in traffic. And while we're in traffic, we're in my truck and the windows are up and everything's muffled, of course. But we heard this little crunch, crunch, crump, boom. Just in time to look out the mirror and seeing one SUV plowing into the back of another vehicle, both of them jumping the medium, and I thought, eee. So far this season, I've seen three of those. I'm wondering if we should take out hazard pay. the tiring shopping trips that go. And along with tiring shopping trips, I thought about this, comes the problem of thinking up something to give to somebody who has everything they'd ever already want or need. So what do you get them? Sometimes these things can be a little distraction, can they not, during the Christmas season? And sometimes, if you allow it to happen, these things can even get into your life and rob you of a little bit of the joy that ought to be associated with the Christmas season. You know, I was thinking about the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the coming of God in flesh, that little baby born in this manger, born of a virgin, who came to bring healing and salvation. And how it means so much to the central theme of what Christmas is all about, our redemption. You think about that for a while. And then some of these other things, symbol, music, poetry, color, tradition, all this, it all has a place, but it doesn't seem to be as much when you think about the one central message of Christmas, and it's found in a person whose name is Jesus. Amen? Think about that. So what does the message of Christmas truly mean? There are three things I want to share with you briefly this morning about the meaning of Christmas. You know, I have this thought in my mind that what if you were standing in line at the checkout counter at one of the stores, you know, one of your tireless journeys to the store to buy something, get something for a loved one. And what if you were standing in line and all of a sudden you got a little tug on your coat and you look down, there happened to be a young boy or there happened to be a young girl, and they tugged on your coat and they said, "Excuse me, sir, excuse me, ma'am, could you tell me the meaning of Christmas?" What would you do? What would you say? Would you be tempted to look around and see the lights and the display and the colors? Or would you look to your basket and point out little gifts and trinkets? What would your answer be? Now, I think I know everybody here well enough that certainly in your answer, you would some way, somehow get to the point that Jesus is truly, as the sticker says, the reason for the season. It's more than just a slogan or a catchy phrase. It's a reality behind that. But my thought this morning is that when we ask ourselves the question, what does Christmas really mean? That you could even not only say Jesus, because he's the reason of the season, but you can expand beyond that in your brief conversation with that young one. Conversations at home with your family, conversations with those in the workplace, and so forth. So there's three thoughts I have in mind out of this passage this morning, Isaiah chapter number 9. First thought is this, what does the message of Christmas truly mean? Number one, Christmas means that light shines in the darkness. Think about that. Christmas means that light shines in the darkness. You know, God spoke through Isaiah concerning Israel. He said this, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light." I'd like to almost interject there, as the Apostle Paul stated, "And such were some of you." Because we too were once darkness, right? And then we received Jesus, the light that came into the world. Isaiah says that they dwell in the land of the shadow of death. Upon them hath the light shined. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. Light and darkness, important symbols for us as we read through the entirety of the Word of God. Light symbolizes the fellowship of the Holy God. And of course, darkness represents life apart from Him. And that's what we see in our world today still. We see light. There's light in this room. There's the light of the Lord. He said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst of them." There is light here this morning. And that we're sure of. We're equally sure there's darkness outside the four walls, even while it's daytime. there is a darkness that pervades. We read these words from Isaiah, unto us the child is born, unto us a son is given, and as believers, we rejoice in the gift of God's love through Jesus Christ. It's not just this time of the year. It's not just this time of the season that our head gets off the pillow in the morning and our feet hit the floor and we say, thank you, God, for sending your son Jesus for me. That's an everyday event in the life of the believer. That's an everyday occurrence where we are so grateful that God did not just leave us to die in our sin, being eternally separated from Him forever and ever. And as somebody said, eternity is a very long time. We rejoice in the gift of God's love through Christ, that hope that burned in hearts, longing hearts, through century after century of darkness. That hope became a beacon at Bethlehem, and it continues to shine forth wherever His name is revered, wherever His name is honored. It shines. Every time you speak a word of testimony for Christ, it shines. Every time you go to the prayer closet and pray, it shines. Every time you speak a word of encouragement on behalf of another for Christ, in Christ's name, it shines. We have opportunity over and over and over again to let that light shine. It's that light that we're to so let shine before men that they may see our good works and do what? Glorify our Father which is in heaven. That's what Matthew wrote in Matthew 5:16. That's an everyday happening, or it should be, in each of us who name the name of Christ. And then here in our passage in Isaiah chapter 9, suddenly out of the darkness that covers the very last verse of Isaiah 8, look there. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 22, when it says, and they shall look unto the earth, and behold, trouble and darkness, gloom of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. But no need to leave it there. Because he goes on to say that the people that walked, past tense, walked in darkness, have seen a great light. For unto us this great light, a child is born, and unto us this great light, a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And that is an amen. Every day. The light comes, and it's been recognized as the light from God. And Christmas comes as a reminder. Oh, there is the symbol and the music and the poetry and the lights and the tradition. And there's the parties and there's the games and there's the food and there's the time of celebration with family and friends. And there's the half days, you know, the school vacations and abbreviated work periods because of the office work party and all of that that goes with it. Lest we forget, Christmas comes as a reminder that God's light still shines in the darkness. The second thing I see here, so what does the message of Christmas truly mean? Secondly, Christmas means that the God whose coming we celebrate is still available if we seek Him. Is still available if we seek Him. You know, again, a little while ago, we mentioned to you that little sticker that said, Jesus is the reason for the season. I've seen it on cars. I've seen it little magnets on refrigerators, and I've seen it on little pins. But there's another sticker, too. You remember this one. The first time I saw it, it was actually on a woman's coat. It was a little lapel pin, and it said, it had a little manger thing, and it said underneath that, wise men still seek Him. I believe that's more than a catchy phrase. There's a lot of truth to that. We could take that and develop at least 20 subpoints off what wise people in Christ do every day. Christmas means that the God whose coming we celebrate is still available if we seek Him. Now, admittingly, There is still much darkness in our world and many things within the lives of people that are displeasing to God. You watch a TV program, it's evident much darkness still in the world. You get on your world wide web, your global coming into your home, going out of your home, you will find that there is still much darkness in the world. If you still subscribe to a local newspaper and begin reading some of the accounts in the newspaper, you will see that there is still much darkness in the world. If you go out and decide to travel to a place to do some business, perhaps to pick up a gift for a loved one, you will see just walking through your local mall that there is still much darkness in the world. You see it wherever you go. And yet Matthew's gospel tells us that Jesus was born, here's the name, Emmanuel. Meaning that even in spite of all the darkness still in our world, God's with us. God's with us. I think about the Christmas hymn that we sing, Hark, the herald angels sing. There's a stanza there, says, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. I'm so grateful God is with us. I truly am. We need someone who can bring order to our muddled lives. Amen? Think about it. Does your life always run smooth and on an even keel? Does your mechanic, does your personal body engine always run with a nice, smooth hum? No, not mine. And on occasion, I find the older I get, the more my personal engine sputters. Listen, if we believe in light and darkness, we believe the light, the rain, falls on the just and the unjust. Guess what? Our lives are going to go through the cycles of ups and downs and ins and outs. We need someone who can bring order to our muddled lives. History has enough illustrations to teach us that no mere human ruler can control or give proper guidance to the urges that surge through the human heart. Just look at our own lives. Look at our nation. Look at our world. Name me one human ruler that can say, I've got it covered. Not there. It's interesting how Jesus entered the fray of human conflict. In John 1, we read, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He came not under human sponsorship or sponsorship of men, but at the will or the bequest of the Father. And from the time of His coming, throughout the entirety of His ministry, He pointed out the way for people, calling them to His kingdom in a spirit of forgiving and redeeming love. Oh, thank God for forgiveness. Thank God for forgiveness. Isn't it good to know that you've been forgiven? Isn't it good to know that you have the ability through Christ to be forgiving? Say, well, you know, listen, here's the truth. You don't forgive others, guess what the Father says? I don't forgive you. Isn't it wonderful to live in that spirit of redeeming love? One songwriter wrote, redeemed how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through His infinite mercy. His grace and forever I am. His child and forever I am. When's the last time somebody walked up to you and said, hey, Skip, how you doing? And you said, redeemed, brother. Now he'll say it. Go ahead, Skip. Somebody look at you and say, man, we redeemed. What do you mean by that? Whoa, opportunity. Jesus' life was a demonstration of a God-centered, God-oriented life. And you know what I love? What really hones it in, especially the Christmas season? He makes that life available to you and me. God-centered, God-oriented. He gives us the ability to live in a spirit of forgiveness, a spirit of redeeming love. John writes, to as many as received him, to them gave he the power, gave he the right to become the sons of God. And God uses us in that equation, that heavenly equation, to impart that truth into people's lives. Nothing could be more evident this time of Christmas season about the opportunity. God is still available if we'll seek him. If we seek him. For all who look upon him will never be the same again. God's taken you in Christ. Your old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. New. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised again unto newness of life. New. New. We're redeemed from the burden of our sin that would break us if we were not forgiven. Thank God for his forgiveness. There's a third thing. So what does Christmas really mean? It's light. Light in the darkness. It's available to everyone who will still seek him. God hasn't closed that door. God hasn't cut off the opportunity. And third thing I think about Christmas, the meaning of it. Christmas means that we must look up to a higher world. Who are you? Well, the Bible tells us that we're pilgrims in Christ. We're on a pilgrimage. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Your citizenship. Oh, there's so many times I'm filling out an application for something, be it on the online or being in some place, and it says citizenship. I always, oh boy, I want to put heaven. What? Oh, I want to do that. Like one time I went for fill out an application, and I'm filling it out, and I thought, well, you know, it's truth here. Right? Said hair color. I wrote none. Person going the application looks at that and goes, none? I took off my hat. She said, none. We must look to a higher world. I guarantee you, you can't look to this one. I guarantee you, you can't look to this one. If you're a Christian, you're not of this one. Your delights are not to be found in this one. Your goals, your energies. All of us as children of God, we're all about living for and serving him and sending dividends up ahead. Amen? Earthly dividends upward. With the coming of Christ, we're given the promise of a continuing and sustaining power. We must look up to the higher world. And yet I think about this. Though the Bible teaches us we must be looking up to the high world, however, in all of our haste to find the shortcuts to a better life, peace, and goodwill, we've abbreviated. We've abbreviated something very important. And it's found in what we often refer to as the Christmas story. Do you remember the angelic host? They sang a little chorus. And they talked about peace, goodwill toward men. And that's what we often look for, is it not? Wouldn't it be wonderful of God to make all wrongs right? Well, one day he's going to. Wouldn't it be wonderful just live in an area of peace? Wouldn't it be wonderful if people were kind and gracious and greeted one another with wonderful words rather than grunts and groans? Peace, goodwill toward men. Yes, I agree, that'd be wonderful. But we can't shortcut the process. Because the beginning of that chorus, it doesn't start there. The beginning of the chorus starts, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And that's what Christmas means. It means that we must look up to a higher world. It means our focus must be Him. But it's not always, is it? There are times that we are guilty as anybody else, shortcutting the way to peace and goodwill toward men. There are times we try to solve our own problems. And I'll tell you what often happens when we try to work so hard on solving our own problems. When we do that, there are times we ignore, not always purposefully, but sometimes even subconsciously, we ignore the relationship that we're to have with God. Think about it. When a trial comes, problem comes, your first reaction to the trial or the trouble or the tribulation is to run where? It's not always due north, is it? And yet I think part of the true meaning of Christmas, it helps us as believers to centralize that message again. It helps us to get back on point. This is what we see. See, we are created to be children of God. But if we will not live as children of the Heavenly Father, we are not likely to live as brothers and sisters to each other, never mind focusing on Him. We forget. We will forget the meaning of Christmas. It's light and darkness. It's the ability for people to still seek Him and find Him. It's also the ability to look up to a higher world. The old saying is true. We must put God at the center of life or life will be off center. It happens every time. We must keep contact with the power of God's love or there will be no current of warmth, peace, goodwill toward men. In Jesus Christ, touching and affecting our relationships. Because what happens, our focus then gets on us, and we forget to get the focus back on God, and it's when the focus is on Him that the true meaning of Christmas really radiates through our lives. Oh, it doesn't mean that we don't have problems and trials and struggles and tribulations. We all have them. But there's something about this time of the year that I think God allows us to retool, to refocus. It's hard to sing all the hymns of Christmas and not think about Christ. We sang this morning, Steve led us, "What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap of sleeping?" We go to the store and somebody says, "Well, thank you very much. Have a good day and happy holidays." Oh, Merry Christmas. That term Christmas is a wonderful term. It originally comes from the Christ Mass, which is the elevation of Jesus. It's all about Him and His birth we celebrate. No matter who tries to put it off or into the peripheral, or drop it into the background, you and I know the true meaning of Christmas. Hence, we to live the true meaning of Christmas. I firmly believe that Christmas approaches again, as it does every year, to remind us of another very old, old truth. And that truth is that we must first look up to a higher world before we can look out to a better one. Folk, there is no better one until we look up to the higher one. Do you see that? And that's all over the narrative of Christmas. We see the star. And they followed the star. They looked up to the direction of a higher one. And there they came to where the newborn king lay. Because of Christmas, Paul's words to the Ephesians is timely. But there's one verse in particular we close with this morning that really drives the point home. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, here's what the scripture states. He said as he wrote to the church at Ephesus, "See then that you walk circumspectly," or that you walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise. And I thought about that, and you know, I have different Bible translations in my study, and I was flipping through each one to see if maybe give us a little more amplification or a little more understanding of this. And I did find one. It's the same verse. This is what it says. This is how it read. And it really helped me focus in even more. Paul said this, Ephesians 5:15, in this other translation. "Live life then with a due sense of responsibility, not as men who do not know the meaning and purpose of life, but as those who do." And isn't that all about us? You know the meaning of Christmas. And you know the challenges are going to come to that very meaning. We are called by God to live it out. Not as those who don't know the purpose of life. Not as those as who do not understand the goals and purposes and plans that God has for us. But we live it out as those who do. So what is the real meaning of Christmas? You're in line and the young boy comes and tugs on the side of your garment. That young lady comes and tugs on the side of your garment and says, "Excuse me, sir, excuse me, ma'am, could you please tell me the real meaning of Christmas? Could you articulate that for them?" Oh, you could say, "Well, it's all about Jesus." And it is. But could you take them a little deeper to really settle it in their heart? That's my prayer. That each of us will live and speak as people who know. Because you know what? We do. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. And Father, thank you for this day. Lord, I rejoice in the fact of the opportunity that you've given to us to be able to come today and worship and to share your word and to live this word. But Father, I pray first that perhaps there's somebody here this morning who has yet to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Father, in a group this size or a multitude or any size, I never take it for granted that everybody knows the Lord. And God, it's my prayer. Maybe there's somebody here that said, "Well, you know, once upon a time I prayed a prayer, but I didn't truly understand it, or I prayed it because somebody was with me and they really wanted me to. So I did it for them. But preacher, I believe this time I need to do it for me." This is a prayer from my mind to my heart, through my entire being, I know that Jesus died for my sin. And I know that through Him I can have life eternal, and that's what I desire. I present myself as a gift during this Christmas season to Jesus, and I receive Jesus as a gift to me. And maybe that's you this morning. Or maybe you've never ever trusted Christ. Any prayer. Maybe this is the first you've heard. Say, preacher, I'd like to receive Jesus Christ. I'd like to know for sure my sin is forgiven. Heaven is my home. I'd like to truly experience the true meaning of the season. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Preacher, would you pray for me? It'd be my delight. By an uplifted hand, you say, preacher, pray for me. Anybody like that this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you know Him? If you know Him, amen. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, we'd like to pray for you. Anybody like that this morning, just lift your hand up. I need Jesus. I need Him. Do you know Him?
I know Him.
Okay. Christian, would you just pray in your own heart and ask the Lord at this particular time of the year to really use you to reflect the true meaning of Christmas.